90.1 FM, Turmoil Music from ADZ, the ads, and that was Driving with the Radio On. Started off with Glue Gun, who gave us Drug Life from their CD, The Scene Is Not For Sale, and that's on the Fearless Records. Glue Gun, ADZ, here on Turmoil. With me on the phone, I hope he's there back, is Bruce. Bruce, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, he just ran out for a second, and now he's back.
Yep.
And one thing that I've been screwing this up all night long, is it ads or ADZ?
We're all purpose. Either way is fine. We've heard of both. Both work. I mean, ads would be short for adolescent, but a lot of people say ADZ and we never correct them.
Okay, so both ways I've been correct all night then.
Yep.
And we just heard Driving with the Radio On, which is from the CD Piper at the Gates of Downey, which I believe is your latest release.
Yep.
And this was released in Europe first.
Came out late 95 in Europe and early 97 in the States.
Why was it take so long to get released in the States?
Pretty good question. Not exactly sure. Just shopping it around and trying to get the best deal we could, and you know, having to deal with the label in Germany that was going to license it. We eventually ended up at a subsidiary of Triple X, which is where I work, primarily because that's how we ran into the guy that owns Bitscore, the German label, in the first place. So the two labels were already friendly, and it just worked out the best that way. But, it, you know, like a lot of things in the glorious music business, it took a while to arrive to that conclusion.
Okay. Now, on the record here, you're doing backing vocals. What role do you play in the band today?
I got demoted to bass player.
Demoted?
I went from producer to bass player. I'll probably get stuck to, you know, background vocalist with a tambourine on the next record. I don't know.
Now, you said you guys were in the studios a few months ago. What's happening with that?
Well, we just wrapped it up. It's quite an opus. It's called Transmissions from Planet Speedball. We recorded it for Flipside, but now we're not sure if it's going to go to Flipside or RAFR, which is their other label, but hopefully it's going to be a CD-ROM. The music's all done. We're awaiting mastering, and it's going to turn a few heads, I think. It's a pretty different record.
And why don't you give us the current lineup, because I know every record it seems to have changed. Who's currently in the band?
Pretty solid for a long time now. It's still Tony, of course, singing. Kirk Moser's remained in the band for a long time, about 5 years now. He's on guitar. Matt Young's been in the band for a good 3 years now. He's the drummer. And he played with Tony and the Flower Leopards and both of us in Sister Goddamn. I hope I can say that on the radio.
That's fine.
And George Paris is the newest member. He's the lead guitarist, and he's been in the band a year and a half. He used to be in Bone Crusher. I don't know if they made an impact on the East Coast or they were real popular out here.
No, I think they're more popular on the West Coast, not too big over here on the East Coast. Okay, so that's the current lineup. Now, I think I just lost my headphones. Here we go. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I just lost my headphones. Here we go. I thought we went off the air. Next question I was going to ask you is, why the name ADZ? I mean, it seems like lately there's all these labels are coming out re-releasing all the stuff from the late 70s, early 80s, and mm-hmm. bands have been reforming. And, you know, is this, you know, just a group, you know, opinion that let's not go as the Adolescents and just, you know, go as the new band, the ADZ?
Well, actually, it precedes most of us, although that's a question that's asked by our agent all the time when he's trying to get more money for us. If you were the Adolescents, I could double your pay. But I think, well, the first ADZ record was Casey, Rick, and Tony from the original Adolescents, and it was their decision way back then, which I think this was 91 or something, to shorten the name. And I think what it really came down to is the fact that you got guys in their 30s now essentially calling themselves the teenagers, and they just felt stupid. You know, it's like, we're not kids anymore. Why say that we are, even though that was our name? I think had they been something like, you know, had they not called themselves that in the first place and had been Agent Orange or something, they might still be Agent Orange. But they decided to change the name, and it would have been, I think it would have been a real about-face to change it back,
mm-hmm.
especially with only one of the original members now.
Now, does the band still do some of the old Adolescent tunes?
Oh, we do a ton of them. Yeah, we do about as many as you need. Our set list is over 50 songs. It's pretty incredible for a punk band. We can play for 3 hours.
You could do a whole Broadway extravaganza, just sell out for a few weeks.
There you go. Well, you know, when you go to Europe, they don't let you off the stage, so that's sort of a more European set. You might play for 2 hours, even though it's considered a set.
Right.
But here, you know, we keep it to a mild hour 10 or something like that.
Now, how much, you know, argument is there amongst the band of what tunes to play? I'm sure some of the newer members just want to play the new tunes, and they're like...
No, we don't mind playing the old stuff because it gets the crowd going, and a lot of people, especially younger people, actually, will want to hear that because they didn't get to hear it the first time around. And that's cool with us. No, most of it happens, there's a certain Axl Rose element in Tony when he gets on stage. He likes to call out songs, and I think it's just more or less to see if we'll get through them without making a mistake. It's sort of like a inner band torture thing he likes to do. But other than that, we do make a set list and attempt to stick to it when we play, so there's usually not too much dissent.
Mm-hmm. Now, the old ads, you said, had Rick and Frank Agnew, some of the original members who went on to form...
Yeah, it was Rick and Casey. Frank,
right.
Frank hasn't played out in the band in a while, mm-hmm. although he played some lead on the Piper album. We brought him in for a few tunes.
Right. Now, are you guys still friendly with them? Was it like an amicable split that they, or they just had other projects they wanted to kind
of
put on?
Yeah, I think that's all it was. I mean, Rick's been off and on with a whole bunch of different projects and is the kind of a guy that doesn't really stick with one thing for too long anyway. And Casey, I think, was happier singing and fronting a band, so he wanted to go back to DI. I think Casey was always a little uncomfortable on the drums. I like the way he drums, but I always got that feeling from him. And, you know, Frank, we're all cool with Frank. Like I said, we had him into the studio, and Soto's got his band, 22 Jacks, and they're cool. We see them a lot. So, yeah, everyone's on good terms.
Okay. We're going to play another song just to break up this talk fest we've got going here and give people another listen to the band. I'm stumbling here. I want to play Stage Diving Daisy, and the reason I'm playing that is because I see a name on here that looks really familiar since I've been in radio for over 17 years now, and I remember playing one of her first hits, Johnny, Are You Queer? And
great.
That's Josie Cotton. And what has she been doing since that point, and how did she get involved with the band for this?
Well, actually nothing too complicated. We recorded the tracks and, you know, the bottom end of the record at West Beach where all the Epitaph stuff used to be done. And then we, to save money, we went to a little bit more inexpensive place, but no less great of a place, which is Geza X's home studio in Hollywood. And he shares a home. The studio's in his house, and he lives there with Josie. So, I mean, they were always around. I think even the dog appeared on there. We recorded a sister, Last Sister Goddamn record at the same time, and the dog was on that one. So the whole family got involved. And we decided we wanted to have a girl do the soliloquy type thing, and she just turned out to do it great. She just made it up off the top of her head, and we kept it.
Okay, so let's give a listen to that from ADS, or ADZ, your choice. This is Stage Diving Daisy. We're talking with Bruce. Temporary basis for the band at this moment. We'll see what further developments go on with that. And we'll be talking with Bruce right after this. This is Stage Diving Daisy here on Turmoil. FM Turmoil, music from ADZ or the ADS, your choice. That was Stage Diving Daisy, and that featured a little Daisy speak there from Josie Cotton, who had a big hit in the early 80s called Johnny, Are You Queer? And they, Bruce was just saying before, this was produced by Geza X, who I remember he had an album out, You Goddamn Kids, which you can't locate anywhere these days, which was like a classic.
I was trying to actually get Triple X to reissue that.
Oh, that would be...
We still may.
Great, if you could do that, because that...
Be cool record.
That was a really cool record. That was just totally off the wall. You know, it was funny, it was sad, it was like, you know, just great.
Jesus got a big top 40 hit right now.
Does he really?
Yeah, he cut that, what's the song called? That song, Bitch, by that girl Meredith Brooks.
You're kidding, really?
That was done up at his house.
Wow.
I'm not positive, but I think that's the only track on the album that he did. They gave it to some other big shot, but he had the hit, so there you go.
Wow, okay. It's great that he's still going strong these days.
Oh, yeah.
So, why don't you tell us about the new album that you're working on, and which will hopefully be out real soon.
Yeah, we hope to have it out for the, full winter, if everything goes right. I mean, it's done. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. But it's called Transmissions from Planet Speedball. It's actually sort of a concept album. It's about addiction and the different things that take you down as you go through the course of getting deeper and deeper, and there's some different characters that come into play and whatnot. I mean, it's not a Jethro Tull album or anything. I don't want to give people the wrong idea. It's still totally rocking, but it does follow a bit of a theme. And then also another little change up on it that's different is we connected all the songs with these little weird found sound transitions of, samples from movies and stuff from our answering machines and old records manipulated through the transmogobulator. And it came out real bizarre, and we hooked up all that together so there's never a moment of silence once the record kicks in. It's sort of the first punk rock mega mix. So we're pretty proud of it. It's different, but it's still it's more raw sounding than the actual song playing. It's more raw sounding than the new album, so it's going to turn some heads, I think. It's pretty unusual.
Now, when you guys were putting this album together, did you start off consciously wanting this to be like a concept record, or did it sort of develop that way and you just kept going with it?
Well, the way we work, when it's time to get something going, I mean, we're always writing songs, but when the deadlines start looming up, we'll all crank out stuff on the four track or work out stuff in rehearsal, and we'll get, like, say, five or six songs pretty much ready. And then those go to Tony, and he starts writing them. And then it was at that point he pretty much came back and goes, "Hey, I think I want to make all the songs about the same thing and try that for a change." And we're like, "All right." So then we just wrote the rest of the songs that way. And then during production, the other ideas came up. We did a couple songs that had these real unusual kind of different sounds come in during the fade-outs. And when Tony heard that, he goes, "Yeah, I like the way this fades into something different. What if we did that on every song and then hooked them all together?" Tony's pretty good at hearing fragments as completed work. Most musicians aren't very good at that, and he's really pretty good at hearing chunks of something and hearing what it could be when it's all done. So those ideas actually came from him, and then I got pretty into it and went about trying to figure out how to actually make that land on tape somehow. So it was a lot of fun to do. It was a tooth puller and kind of a headache at times, but when I listen back to the finished thing, I'm pretty stoked.
Okay, this isn't something you're going to be able to play like to the Wizard of Oz or anything like that, right?
No, strictly cabaret only.
Okay.
The Joel Grey version.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Tony Reflex Montana. He's back in the news because we just got a new release from Grand Theft Audio, which is a label in Glendale that's re-releasing a lot of the old punk material.
Right.
And they just re-released the abandoned LAMF CD, which features pretty much everything the Abandoned did at that time. Do you guys how do you take to like interviewers asking you questions about the old days? Are you just want to like forget about them and talk about like what's happening these days, or you don't mind talking about the late 70s, early 80s?
I think it depends on the individual. For me, I don't care. I was there. I'm feel glad that I was, as opposed to have missed it and having to read about it in a book or something. I got to live through it. I think the rest of the guys feel that way. Grand Theft also put out a No Crisis record, which was Kirk Moser, our guitar player. He was the lead singer and guitarist in that band.
Mm-hmm.
So two of them have done it. And quite frankly, because there's no real startup cost, they sell pretty okay. And so they're good money makers for the individuals as well. I mean, nothing you're going to retire on, but I think everyone's pretty stoked that, A, it's available again, B, you can make some money on it, and C, it's sort of cleaned up and looked after and presented in a way that's, something you can be proud of.
Now, can you believe it's been almost like 20 years that you've been in the punk scene?
No. That can't be true. I guess I can't. Sometimes it's hard to think about that, but You know, I've been around a while. I was doing stuff before the punk scene, so I don't know. It's all just kind of fun time rock and roll. I can't imagine not playing is what I can't imagine. I can't imagine just saying, all right, well, that's enough of that. I'm going to, you know, put this in the closet or have a yard sale or something. And I just can't imagine not getting in a room with a bunch of guys and turning on the amps.
Some musicians, you know, some of the bands that have been reformed today, it was mostly just to live off their hits of the past. Whereas you guys, you know, you're still doing your old stuff, but you're also producing new music. And to maintain that energy and level for over 20 years and still have that enthusiasm is something that should be commended. Not too many bands will take the effort to do that. They'll just want to live off the past. And you guys just keep cranking out, you know, more and more stuff, which is great.
Well, I think also because, like we said, Tony's the only one connected with the first record. So if we were all just playing that, I mean, to me, that would be sort of a situation where, you know, that'd be fine if the guy had me on salary and I just had to turn up and, you know, plug in and play the hits off a chart or something. But, I mean, if it's an ongoing functioning band and you have to do the things that a functioning band does, which is, you know, rehearse, write songs, be thinking about new stuff, and that's where the energy comes from, the enthusiasm of, you know, coming up with a new tune and hearing it finally done right and getting all excited about it.
Okay.
Which, you know, we're still doing. I mean, like, some of the songs on the new record we just finished, we haven't even played live yet because, some of them were written in the studio and whatnot. And now we're getting live arrangements together for them, and it's still fun, you know. It's like, wow, we got some new material. It sounds great. See how the audience likes it. So the buzz stays on.
And do you guys plan on touring anytime soon?
Well, we've been doing some West Coast stuff. We went out and did a thing with Electric Frankenstein earlier in the year. Sometime within the last year. And we did a New York, Baltimore, I think Philly, Boston, something like that. And we've done a couple West Coast things with them and, you know, been around through Phoenix and New Mexico and that kind of junk. I think our next thing we've been talking about is going all the way to Seattle and back, because we've never actually done that, and it seems like, you know, West Coast band, we should at least be able to stomp up and down through the entire West Coast. And we've got offers to go to Europe. You know, the problem is some of the band have pretty professional jobs, so getting a large chunk of time off is sometimes tricky. So, I mean, for me, I'd just as soon pack the bag and split for a year, but... we'll have to see. I think the next thing is going to be to try to play a week here and there from our home base and build up around here a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the L.A. scene like these days? One of the few bands that I've gotten something good from is a band called The Padded Cell.
Yeah, playing with them Friday.
Really?
Yeah, them and Jeff Dahl, first U.S. show in some time.
Wow. Well, say hi to Lou for me from The Padded Cell, because I just spoke to him a few weeks ago.
Hey, those guys are great.
And any other bands out there that you might want to turn the kids on in New York to?
Well, there was a band on Dr. Dream we played with that I liked a lot. Their record wasn't quite as good as their show, but it was still pretty good. I don't know how easy Dr. Dream stuff is to get, but they were called Knockout. They're pretty cool. And we like Padded Cell. I'm sure you all know about Electric Frankenstein. We play with them a lot. They're East Coast, of course, but we like them a lot. And then another band we've done a lot of stuff with, even farther away, is NRA. They're from Holland, and they sort of provided us with a home base when we went over there, and then they came over here and we did the same. We like to do sort of this cultural exchange program with some of the bands from other areas, and that way when you go there, you got equipment and a place to stay, and it works out real good. And they're a great band, too. Really great.
Okay, well, we've played here on the show before, and also NRA, so the kids here are familiar with those guys. And we're going to pretty much wrap this up. We're going to end up with one more song from the new, semi-new CD, Piper at the Gates of Downey. We'll be looking for the new one, Transmissions from Planet Speedball, which hopefully will be out real soon. We're going to play Stowaway. And Bruce, why don't you tell people if they want to write to the band or to pick up the CD, where they should write to?
Oh, good question. Let's see if it's on. I grabbed the German version. Did they throw it on here? Hold on a second. We do have a P.O. box. Stomp the Bass Player. Let's see if it's in the liner notes. Here we go. Ads. Right to P.O. box 668 Sierra Madre. That's C-S-I-E-R-R-A, capital M-A-D-R-E. California, 91025-0668. in the United States of America.
Okay, and someone from the band will hopefully respond. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yeah, we get back to everybody.
Okay.
We really do.
Okay, Bruce, you hold on just a second, and we're going to hear Stowaway from ADS here on Turmoil. FM Turmoil Music from the Adolescents by request, and that was No Way. And we spoke to the most recent formation of the Adolescents, otherwise known as ADZ, and they gave us Stowaway from the CD release Piper at the Gates of Downey. Excuse me, still fighting off this flu or whatever I've got. And thanks to Bruce for taking the time to talk tonight. We started off with ADZ, who gave us Driving with the Radio On, then we heard Stage Diving Daisy, and then Stowaway, and ended up, someone called up right after I got off the phone with Bruce and said, can you play some Adolescence? So we played No Way from, I think this is their first release on Frontier Records going back to 81 or so. If you'd like to write to the band, ADZ, you can write to them at ADZ P.O. Box 668, Sierra Madre, California, 91025-0668. And please, folks, when you write to these bands, include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Okay, a lot of these bands, they're not getting rich on this stuff, so please help them out any way you can. And tell them you heard them on Turmoil. Hopefully they'll send you a catalog or a listing of what they've got available or can answer any of your questions that I might have missed tonight. Okay, before we move on, I just have this announcement to make. The School of Professional Development here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook offers year-long academic and certificate programs for full or part-time study. For more information or to request a catalog of course opportunities, you can call the School for Professional Development at 632-7050. The number once again is 632-7050. Also, coming up this Friday night on Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction, they'll salute the release of Star Trek, The New Frontier, the first Star Trek novel not based on a specific TV series, and they'll have a live interview with its author, Peter David. You'll learn the background of this new series of books and find out who makes up the crew of the latest addition to Starfleet. You'll also hear about what's happening with Peter's TV series Space Cases, which I believe was canceled from a Nickelodeon schedule, and what he has planned for his comic books Aquaman, Supergirl, and The Incredible Hulk, plus the much-anticipated Marvel Heroes return in graphic detail. That's Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction, hosted by Howard Margolin, this Friday, June 6th, 11:30 p.m. Since we're kind of like in a retro mode here, let's go back even further for this English band. They're called Eater, and this is Thinking of the USA here on Turmoil.
Thinking of the USA. the only thing I know. Time for me to practice all the shit we preach, negative or not. I don't see what you see. I can't be what you are. You don't relate to me. I need to get so far away. So far.
.1 FM Turmoil, music from Straight Faced. That was Negative from their Broken release. Started off with Eater, who gave us Thinking of the USA. That's re-release of everything Eater from Creative Man Records, a label out of California. They're gathering up all the old punk stuff and re-releasing it for your listening pleasure. Eater and Straight Faced here on Turmoil. No concert listings, but I do have a list of WUSB's concert series at the spot. This Friday, June 6th, they'll have Basils and Gush. Show starts at 10:30 p.m. Friday the 13th, Soil Birds and Serial Poets. Thursday the 19th of June, Wookie, Nano Frog, and Tin River Junction. Friday, June 20th at the spot, Checkerboard Charlie and the Loiterers. No phone number here for more information, but you do have to be, I think it's 18 to enter, 21 to drink, or something like that. Yep, that's all I've got here for them. So keep your dial tuned to 90.1 FM, and they'll tell you more information about the spot. This Friday, though, check out Basils and Gush at the spot here at SUNY Stony Brook. Going to end up tonight's show with this from Industry Girl. It's called Earshot. It's from the Burnt and Bent compilation put out by Burnt Sienna Records out of Ohio. I'll be back on next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Have yourselves a safe and a good week. You are tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. We'll be right back.
Our internet address here at WUSB-FM Stony Brook is www.wusb.org.
Cyberspace is the place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to chase. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web. In a new world point of view, up into which you have stepped. Cyberspace is the place.
Once again, to get in touch with us here via the internet, send your web browser to www.wusb.org and prepare yourself for amazement.
Hi, this is Kate with the Concert Billboard for Wednesday, June 4th. Tonight, In the Swamp and the Backsliders are at Brownies, Sloan at Mercury Lounge, Gil Scott Heron and the Last Poets at Tramps, Ray Drummond Quartet at Village Vanguard, Commander Cody Band at Bottom Line, Steve Tarr at Knitting Factory, James Carter Quartet at Iridium, Mary Dengster's at Wetlands, and Chuck Mangione and his 21-piece orchestra are at Blue Note.